This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Excuse me. Going out on the phone now to Wayne Bierbauer, who is with the Police Officers Association of Michigan. Good evening, Wayne. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How about yourself, Cheryl?
I'm doing very well. It's been a busy time in the Lansing area, and I know some representatives from the Police Officers Association were here as well today. Am I correct on that?
We've had people up there last week and this week. We're pretty much trying to just stay on top of things, or at least let everybody know what our views are.
And what are your views? We'll start with specifically related to the Emergency Financial Manager's Bill that made it through the legislature yesterday, and it looks like it's heading for the governor's desk for signing.
We felt it was a bit drastic. It really takes almost everything away from any of our organized groups in terms of bargaining anything, and gives the financial manager, when they come in, a great deal of power, and it just seems counter to what we've always done in terms of negotiating things and trying to work things out. So we were opposed to the legislation. We actually had originally proposed some legislation where we would have modified this a little bit, but unfortunately that went unheeded.
What kinds of modifications were you talking about? Are those modifications something that could come up in another area that could be helpful to your association?
Probably not in terms of the EFM stuff. The legislation as it came out prohibits any contractual negotiations for a specified period of time. I want to say it was like 5 years or something like that. We had asked that it be waived for police officers and firefighters. And also, I believe there was a stipulation in there that
You are correct about the 5 years. I have heard that number as well before from a union representative that it eliminated bargaining for 5 years. And I hope I'm correct about the wording I'm using, but I did hear the 5-year term.
Yes, and we also tried to get something in there that would have allowed a little more flexibility with combining services and different things like that without being quite as drastic in terms of the takeaways from our contract and stuff. The emergency financial manager really can come in and pretty much take what they want now.
Well, and you know, I try to always give all sides of a story. In talking with some other folks this evening, Senator Rick Jones and a representative, Lisa Posthumous-Lyons, they, of course, are saying that the representative of other folks who voted for this bill, that this is important when folks are – things are badly mismanaged or in dire straits, and that it's a last-ditch resort. Is that not how it feels to an organization like yours?
Well, I think we understand that the situation that would involve even having an emergency financial manager come in means you're really in dire straits, and we're very aware of that. I think our problem with the whole process is we are not solely, and in many cases, we're not at all responsible for the situation that these municipalities find themselves in. Sometimes it's mismanagement by the people who run the locales, whether it be a county government, a city government, village, whatever. And I think kind of show our frustration with this, it's interesting to note that the original legislation, while it not only provided the inability of the unions to negotiate their contracts for a period of time, it also provided that these elected officials also were prohibited from running for office for a period of time. Yet when it went through the House and now I believe the Senate, everybody exempted them. In other words, they pulled that out. And we, you know, our response to many of the legislators were, if you're going to use the stick on the unions, why not have a stick there also for management, who in most cases, I would say, is probably more responsible than the local unions for this plight. and, you know, in response to that, they did not put it back in. It was left out, as far as I know.
Well, that's an interesting point. In doing a lot of reading about this subject, to hopefully be able to talk with folks like you and understand it, there are several Democrats that have said that their allies are, and this is a quote from an article by a woman named Stephanie Condon, decrying the legislation as a power grab and say it's a part of a wider effort taking place in several states, such as Wisconsin, to weaken labor unions. What is your feeling about a statement like that?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that I can attribute those kind of, how should we say, motivations to a particular group. I think things are very bad out there. I don't think anybody would question that. We've been aware of it for a long time. We've been making contract modifications for a number of years. My problem with the whole process is we seem to be kind of putting the yoke of responsibility around the unions when realistically most of this stuff was very doable a few years ago. And if it wouldn't have been for the collapse in 2008, we probably still would be in a position where we would be negotiating moderate or modest takeaways from our contracts instead of going through and gutting them right now. And I do see that many politicians see this as a quick fix to a problem that really has, you know, come into being because of all the collapses of 2008 and won't be cured just by taking away some benefits from the unions. And also, I think in the long term, you're going to end up crippling public employment much more severely than anyone is anticipating at this point. So I don't know that I would give, you know, those kind of attributes to people opposing our positions. But certainly I think I could say safely we haven't always been considering the unintended consequences here, and that really worries me.
Well, and it does seem, you know, there is no bigger fan of police officers and firefighters than myself. You and I have talked about that a little bit. But, and it does seem oftentimes, just as an observation, that when cost-cutting measures come around, you're the first on the chopping block.
Well, it's the most visible, you know, form of public employment, certainly. Everybody sees the police, the firefighters. We don't always notice a DPW worker or an office worker inside a municipal building somewhere. But also, quite frankly, the reality is that in most budgets, your police and or fire compromise one of the largest chunks of the employment sector. Consequently, they are responsible for a big share of the general fund budget. Consequently, when you do that, start cutting, you're going to start there. And, you know, it's a reality, but it is unfortunate. And I'm concerned because I don't want to see us rolling back the clock. I don't think any of us want to go back to the 50s and 60s where we were, you know, really underpaying our police officers and our firefighters to the point that we weren't really getting the most talented people out there. And I think you do have a large group of dedicated and I think very talented people doing those jobs now. And again, at some point, you're going to take away any incentive for going to the public sector employment of being a police officer or firefighter.
Well, it's a process that's going to be watched and followed, and I'll be doing that carefully. As always, Wayne, I appreciate your time and giving us your perspective and keeping us up to date from where you are.
And I appreciate your efforts to keep your listeners informed, and just I always get a very concerned feeling when we talk, and I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Wayne Bierbarow with the Police Officers Association of Michigan. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.